guys, welcome back to Unleashed. We are so glad you're here. Remember, we are the resistance. Let's see, what is today's day? This is the 21st of April, right? Yeah, 2 months from today, we get to take our family vacation.
Where are you guys going?
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Oh, Canada it is.
You're right. No, actually, we've been saving up. We're going to go to Cabo.
Oh, okay.
You don't get to do something like that very often, so don't think we live that entitled life. But it'll be fun. You know, it's if you've ever seen like Cabo, you see where the land juts out, and there's a big rock formation with that big U shape, and there's just I mean, there's all kinds of boats that dock in there. I know, like, who's the owner of Amazon? What's his name?
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. I know he docks in there, Tiger Woods, Elon Musk, all these people bring their toys and stuff
Brent
in there.
Anderson.
Yeah, mine, you know, the Unleashed. You know, we've got this big yacht.
Yeah.
And it roars when it comes in. You know, everybody knows we're coming. Yeah. Anyhow. Kevin Huff is with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is.
Yes, here I is.
The legend.
Here I is, the legend, the myth, the one and only, and we are so glad you are here. And of course, every time, Eric Foley, the man who lives in a van down by the river.
This
Eric?
Is correct. Hello, hello, hello.
How you doing?
Rode my bike for the first time this year.
Yeah. You didn't get blown over? This wind is nuts.
I know, man. I just went around the block. I just wanted to air up the tires and just kind of, you know. Yeah.
I was bringing Emma, our youngest, home from school today, and I saw a trash can right as we got beside it. The wind blew the thing over, and there went all the bags tumbling, and there was little plastic baggies going everywhere. And I'm like, oh, great. That's all we need.
Your house?
Yeah. Just a couple, about 2 miles from the house, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't my house.
Oh, well, I mean.
That was the tree that went down. That was 2 weeks ago. We had the tornado. That
right.
Tree is still not cut up yet because the insurance guy hasn't come to say, hey, here's what we're going to do because it won't be enough damage to have them involved. So
yeah.
Well, when we were getting ready to come in, Kevin, he said, now who's coming today? I said, this is Kevin. He goes, oh, dear God, tell me he's a good guy. He goes, everybody I've known named Kevin is bad. And he goes, in that picture of the squirrel up there, that Wanda poster he has, he named him Kevin because he never had any good Kevins in his life.
I've never known a good Kevin.
It's okay.
There's a lot of pressure on you, man.
We get Karen'd a little bit, to be quite honest with you. There's a lot of movies that have Kevin, and Kevin is the dumb squirrel or the dumb whatever. There's these right. four penguins, and the last one's, you know, they're all like, Virgil, Sturgill, whatever, and the last one, so we're okay with it. We can live with it.
You know, we've been watching Yellowstone, and it's Kevin Costner.
There's a good Kevin.
Yeah,
I had forgotten how good of an actor he is.
Yeah, man,
he's awesome.
He's pretty solid.
I mean, just he plays the role, whatever he's in. He's pretty awesome. Well, man, let's get things fired up here. You know, we talked. The last time Kevin was here, which was maybe, 2 months ago?
Yeah, it feels about right.
Something like that. We have been working on a new book, and we still are.
We are.
And that's why we're back today. We're going to talk a little bit more, called Unleashed.
It's closer to new now, because it's almost ready to wrap.
But we were getting together. Like, we had all kinds of stuff in the spring, you know, traveling, and both of us. But we were, like, getting together and going, man, I just couldn't sleep last night. And we'd sit there, you know, in the office and, like, going, we can't get traction here. What's happening? And then I remember the one day I came in and I said, man, last night God woke me up at like 3 a.m. And I said, I was looking for something with the Renewing Your Mind. Remember the acronym? And it ended up being what we'll talk about today, which is the word fight.
Right.
And that was the beginning for me of going, wow, I'm on fire. I mean, I was like, it was awesome. And ever since about that time, both of us have been going, God's up to something here, because we have, every time we get together, it's just like the flame is lit, and we keep messaging each other and emailing each other and going, man, this is awesome. Do this. You do this. Let's try this. And it's going to be good.
It is already good. And that's not our doing.
I know.
But it is. It's. I believe this needs to be in the hands of a lot of people.
I wrote a song one time, and it was one of those ones where I sat down in a Taco Bell. And I mean, a lot of times I'll go, okay, what's the hook going to be? What's the storyline going to be? What's the melody going to be? And I had literally a napkin, and God said, pick up your pen. And it was a song called Come to the Waters. It ended up going all the way to number 2 on the charts. I mean, it went far, but my pen was going. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. It's kind of the way the book has been, in a way.
Yeah. I can't decide if I should be humorous, Kevin, on this one or not. You said it went to number two, so who sang it?
Oh, that was me.
Oh, wait.
Sorry.
Oh, excellent. Well done.
You know, it was on the way to number one, kind of a short story, but there was a guy named Greg Long, and he had a song called, I think it was called Mercy Said No. And it jumped right title. Around me and went all the way to number one. Yeah. Anyhow, but we're excited about this.
Yeah. Listen, we have got the key to it, I think, Brent, is that we've got great frameworks behind it.
Like the Bible.
Well, yeah, clearly. they came from the word. But what I would add to that is that you can reflect on your life and you can see yourself in the stories that are being told
100%.
As we progress through, right, the ages and the stages of life.
I think this is probably the most, I know Stacy said to me, she's been reading it, so I give it to her, and like, hey, what do you think? She's like, where has this person been? She goes, your last two books were good. She goes, but this is like way better. And I said, Kevin, I mean, the two of us, God has just been working through us.
Yeah.
There's a vulnerability. There's an honesty. And you've got this mind that I think is from so many years of business coaching and things that you're able to really structure. And that's something that I lack. I'm like, hey, let me tell you a really cool story, right? And what you've been able to bring to this has really just kind of helped make it go over the top. Mm. And I'm pumped.
Me too. We want to get it out, but man, my business partner just wrapped up his book and we launched it in January, and it takes so long after you feel like you're done to actually get it out there. I wish I could say it to everybody, it's coming in June, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
Yeah. When we still have a long way to go as far as artwork and, you know, but we're close as far as the content.
Yeah. 80-ish, 90-ish%. Is that where you'd put
probably.
It?
Probably.
Same here. Okay.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we have a lot more still, you know, I think we were looking at probably 50 to 60,000 words, and we put some new section in the other day and that added like another 4,000 or 5,000.
Yeah.
But I think we're probably closer to 30, somewhere around there, 1,000 words. And
yeah. But it's not an issue now of what we want to say. It's just an issue of how we want to say it, which will add the words, if you will.
You and I were talking the other day and I said, you know, those books, when you start reading the first page, you know, this is one you're going to pick up both your pen and your highlighter. Mm-hmm. You know, there's very few, sometimes, you know, if I pick up a pen, oh, it's going to be okay. If I pick up a highlighter but then if I start dog-earing pages, right. Then I'm going, I think this is going to be that.
When you come up, you have to come up with like a code for how important everything is. It's like, if this is the purple highlighter, this is the most important sentence on this whole page, but if it's the green highlighter, it's okay.
If it's the black highlighter, it stinks.
That's right. I don't agree with that part.
Black it out. Well, man, let's talk a little bit about this, because yes. We're kind of letting guys know we got something new coming, and it's funny because it matches the name of the podcast, and it was because you came back. I was saying, man, I made it this like this purpose pyramid thing that I've got, you know, or a funnel, I think I originally called it.
Yeah.
And we got talking, like, I kind of like the pyramid better than the funnel. And then you were like, why don't we just call it Unleash? Because it's about unleashing your purpose.
Yeah, I think we kept calling it the Purpose Funnel book. The Purpose Funnel
book. C-Spot Run.
I know, exactly. Well, it kind of felt like that for a little bit. That's how far we were getting with it. That Unleashed makes a lot of sense because of what the content really can do for somebody. You know, it's teed up, as I said, sort of by ages or stages of life. And we start with these young warriors. Well, we start with the beloved warrior, the young kid that's so young, he's just loved by his daddy. And we're not abandoning moms in this story, just kind of this thought, though, of the male side of it, how he progresses through these stages. Yeah. And then we do the female side. And trust me, ladies, we had a lot of help.
Yeah, because we were talking, I was like, you know, we've got the warrior thing, but we want this book. And here, let me just say this to everybody out there, because this isn't a book for just men. And my last couple of books really leaned that way.
Sure.
But this one is not. This one is so much more than that. It really is about, it's all of us finding our purpose. And we go through the different stages, you know, whether you're a young boy, we've got, what is it, the beloved warrior.
Yeah, then the young warrior. Then both of our favorites, the Mighty Warrior.
The Mighty Warrior.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the Ruling Warrior.
It does.
And then it goes finally in the stage I'm almost into.
Right where you're walking into.
Yeah. The Wise Warrior.
Yeah.
You know, Wise Warrior is interesting because, you know, the one thing, if I were to be honest with the things that I struggle with, you know, when I was watching the kids come out of school today, when I was waiting on Emma to come out, I'm seeing all these, you know, young guys that are just full of energy and athletic and life's ahead of them. And they're getting ready to just experience that.
Yeah.
And you know, part of me goes, and I'll go back and I go, man, I'm really am 64. And someone asked me the other day, they said, so what age do you think you're going to retire? And I laughed. I mean, I literally just like a gut laugh came out and I go, I'm never going to retire. But it's really not because of a matter of I can't, although that would be tough being in ministry and doing that, but it's because I don't want to, because
yeah,
what we're headed is purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want my purpose to be tending my garden. That,
right.
That doesn't
right.
sound in any way, shape, or form to me like a purpose. I will do it if it needs to be done, but that's not what my purpose needs to be. We have a purpose designed by God. We've got a whole lot of glory to still give him and to help him build his kingdom. And
well, I said this last week, I think it was. I said, it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So the whole warrior, so I'd rather be a warrior in a garden, yeah. but I don't want to be in the garden. I want to be
yeah.
at least where God has us to be
yeah.
on the front lines with whatever he's got.
I forgot on the way over here, I was like, I can't remember, were we on video or not on video last time? And thankfully we're not on video. I feel like I have to go like find my camo outfit every time I hang out with you so I can, so if I'm on video, I look legit to be a part of this podcast.
Right, right.
I'm not wearing any,
excuse me?
Any pink flamingo stuff today. Oh. I just happen to love flamingos, but you know.
Yeah, so there for the visual, I'm wearing a black shirt and khakis.
Yeah, I'll just throw a hoodie on and we're good to go.
Yeah, I was at a funeral today. So I came straight here, you know, but that kind of put things in perspective because I was thinking about the podcast today, you know, in some of those down moments at the funeral, because this woman who passed away was a relative. It was actually my stepkid's great grandmother. She's almost 94. And they said in the funeral, she worked until she was 85 years old. And they said something about a life well lived. And that's exactly what I was just talking about, because I got one life here, right? I have eternal life.
Sure.
But what has God called me? And when he crossed our paths at Starbucks last September, I think
it was. Yeah, September sounds about right.
And to see what's happening now, I'm like, this is so cool.
It's pretty cool because we couldn't have seen this.
No, no.
We saw, I think we should talk. That's what we saw, right?
I know.
I think we should talk.
Well, God said, Brent, I want you to stay here at Starbucks 10 more minutes. I'm like, I want to go. He's like, no, stay here.
Yeah.
And then you walked in.
I think it's interesting you bring up just a second ago, reflecting on seeing these younger guys coming out of school and how much energy and how vibrant and blah, blah, blah. And it's interesting because that ties back to one of the big, big, big things we talk about in the book, which is the big lie, right? My performance plus other people's opinions for too many people is how they measure their self-worth. Even as you're moving into the wise warrior stage, you still are recognizing that that thing could creep in.
Oh.
Right? If you're not paying attention.
Honestly, the attacks will happen every day.
Yeah.
It's just how much do you buy into them? How much do you allow them to really mess you up? Yeah.
It's like anything in life. If you change it, if you change your diet, if you change whatever, if you quit, it gets easier, but it never goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it should get easier.
Yeah.
I hope it gets easier. Yeah.
But we were going through this and some of the unique stuff, you know, we were talking about, we've got the warrior phases, you know, there's five phases of a man or a boy that he grows into. And then we have the same thing with women. We have the princess phases, but with the boy, they stay a warrior throughout because of the title. We call them that. What are the five? It starts with beloved warrior.
Yep.
What's the second one?
Young
warrior. Mighty warrior, ruling warrior, and then wise warrior. But then we, for the women, you know, we were sitting back and going, women experience something similar, but it starts off, we had cherished princess.
Yes.
And let me run down through.
It just parallels so well the beloved warrior.
Yes.
Right? They're just these innocent, mostly, little.
I don't know why they call them terrible twos. It was the threes.
For us, it was mostly the threes as well.
Yeah. I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven, why did you give the kids all the energy? You did it backwards. But with the cherished princess, you know, the core theme, and I'm looking at it here, I kind of pulled it up on my phone, is really, like you just said, the word innocence, discovery, and a deep need for love and security. Because this is the age, when the little girl is there, you've heard me say this before, what a child almost always knows about God comes through their earthly father. And this is really an important phase. I think that one of the stories that I had written for that one was like when my daughter was small and I would take her to get an Easter dress. And, you know, she would, the woman like at the counter, you know, because I didn't want to go back in the back, you know, and that she would take her back and I'd give her the dress and she would try it on with those little shoes and she'd come out. And what's funny is, you know, when my daughter was little, I don't know what she was, 5, 6 years old, and she would look up to her daddy. But what was interesting was watching the women who worked there watch me watch her.
Yeah. And probably how you interacted with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then you could almost see like there's a longing. You know, I don't think it ever goes
or a
away.
Respect.
Yeah.
Could be both. Like some of them could be like, I wish I'd had that. But some of them could be that dad knows what he's doing.
Yeah. I get teared up when I think about it. Long, good stuff. Long time ago.
And that goes to about age 12 or so. I mean, we're not trying to be firm on the ages, but just somewhere around 12, 13.
And then they kick into the next phase, which is Radiant.
Yeah, such a great name.
Yeah, Radiant Princess. Have you seen like those, when those teenage girls were coming out today? You know, there's this, there's a beauty, a radiance. They're growing into womanhood.
Yeah.
They're exploring, I have here, they're exploring their identity. You know, she's asking the same things like, who am I? Where do I fit in? She has this new independence. She's making choices about school, friendships, values. She's got physical and emotional changes going on. You know, she's navigating her beauty, her attraction, her self-image. And this is at the time, too, where deep friendships and first loves begin to happen and heartbreak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they're against the world here, and the world's against them. Like, this is when the world's trying to distort them with false beauty and shallow, you know, pictures of what their value and worth is and where approval comes from. But the reality is this is when they're learning, or when we need to help them learn, that their value comes from God, not a mirror and not the masses.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned in one of these stories, and I got her permission, my stepdaughter, Sophie, when she was in this phase, you know, she was the cheerleader. She was the popular one, right? And the real pretty. But one night she went in and, she was looking in the mirror at herself, and whatever it was, the lies that she was believing, she didn't see herself that way. And she punched the mirror. We had to take her to get stitches in her hand. And I share that in the book and the stories. But it's so funny how, as a dad, like in the same way watching that little girl twirl, it's so important because now in this phase, she's, can I trust you in the way that you look at me? And Dad, when you tell me you're pretty, is it just because I'm your daughter, or what do you really see?
Right. Yeah, that's the point. Right, 100%, that's the point. You see, we as parents, I would throw my loving wife in here as well, and sure you'd throw your wife in here. We see as close as we can, I think, through God's eyes when we're looking at our children. And I just go, it doesn't matter what they did. I love them. Hey, kid, you just messed up. I love you. It's hard. It's a hard place to be to be there for them like that. I heard a great quote a couple weeks ago from a lady in our Sunday school class, and I'm still resonating on it, but I like it at this point in my life. I believe it's accurate. She said, "We're not responsible for the witness God has planned for our children's lives." So in other words, they're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
But those things will shape their witness, and we're not responsible for the witness that God has planned for their lives.
Well, think of these stories we've been writing.
Yeah, I know.
They're vulnerable, and they wouldn't be there had we not gone through some stuff that wasn't so fun.
Right.
You know, it's funny. I made a post a few days ago. I think you saw it, because I said, man, I just put this post up, and I was pretty vulnerable. I said, you know, a lot of you see the good stuff, right? And I just came out, and I said, you know, I pound my fist. I yell. I scream. I get mad. I mean, I cry. I mean, there are moments of all of that, and that's life. And if we only show everything with a bow tied on it, right? Everyone's going, I can't relate to that. Show me how to get through this stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's not believable either.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we've done with this.
Authenticity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brent, we then move to the resilient princess.
Oh yeah. Number three.
That's a big, big, big one.
And that's what, ages 21 to 35?
Yeah, somewhere in that range, right?
These overlap a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. This is, in my mind, where we hear about the Proverbs 31 wife.
Yeah.
Right, at least this is the age where I sort of picture that occurring at its broadest, deepest level. She's clothed with strength and dignity, right?
Yeah, I've got, I'm just pulling it up here. The core theme is growth through trial, discovering strength in God. Experiences would be launching into adulthood, career, education, relationships, or motherhood. She's going to be facing setbacks, rejection, failure, heartbreak, financial stress. That's a big one. People don't realize how much finances affect a marriage until you're in the marriage and then you start having some financial difficulties. It's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
There's a big stress there between multiple schools of thought, right? The school of thought, which I have always had, which is my job's to provide for my family. But my wife's thought would be, well, I'm here to help. Like, I can provide for the family. And I'm just like, yeah, but no. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
So that even that's a tension, not counting the fact that the finances are, how are we going to pay this bill or that bill or did the creditor call?
Well, and this is like when the spiritual doubts come in, because in this phase too, let's just say that you do have a mother who's in this, you know, way we live now, both parents are working.
Often.
And so then she's busy with the kids too. And so she starts being, you know, exhausted. And God, is this really what the life you had planned for me? So spiritual doubting can be, can this is when you can go back and you can look at the first two phases when you had the cherished princess, right? And the radiant looking to their father, and now their father is kind of really meeting that and feeling that. But now he's there, but he's not there like every day like he used to be. And so now you're really having to figure out, is God really is who he says he is? Mm. That's a big stage.
That is big. This is that time in their life when I think they are recognizing who they are in Christ, right? Their strength is because Christ is in them. They recognize that they don't have to quit, right? Certain aspects of what they're doing in their life. And again, we're trying to speak on behalf of women, and I'm super cautious, but like you, I've run this through my wife to make sure that
I did too. Yep, same.
We're not off, and we've got stories, as I said, from the ladies, and we've gotten help from the ladies, and we're excited to see this.
And the key, I was looking at the key victories for this stage, is they're beginning to find peace in the imperfection. And I think that's a big one, because when you're a teenager and you're in that beauty stage, and now you've had kids and you're busy and, you know, you're just worn. And I think the temptation sometimes at that age is, well, let's look at this other couple over there and look at the house they have, look at the cars they have, look at the vacations they take. And we begin to compare ourselves. And this can be a dangerous stage too, because you're trying to keep up with that.
That Joneses.
Yeah.
Well, it parallels well with the guy. You've got the mighty warrior and the resilient princess here, and then we shift to these leadership roles. On the guy's side, right, it becomes the ruler, yep. The ruling warrior. But then on the lady's side, we make a big shift here, Brent.
Yeah, it goes to noble queen, ages 36 to 65-ish. Yeah.
We move from princess to queen.
And the core theme for this one is, you know, this is a time in her life where you've got leadership roles. You know, it's beginning to, that legacy, she's really beginning to embrace, you know, all of her influence.
Yes.
That she's got.
Yes. We start to see the board positions that these ladies take, or these,
mentoring.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. She's deepening in wisdom. She's learning that strength comes from surrender, not striving. You know, let me say that one again. She's learning, this is for all of us, she's learning that strength comes from surrender, not striving. How many times have we tried to make something happen and control it, and you can't? I mean, you know, I'm not saying you don't try to do the things that you're called to do, but sometimes we feel like we have to control it. It has to look a certain way. And as you and I, we'll go into in a minute, we'll go into like the three A's here in a minute.
Yeah.
And we'll explain what that is. But I think sometimes we think, well, this is the way my parents' life looks, so mine should look like this. And so we try to make something happen like that. But here's the thing. Your story is not their story. It's not going to look the same.
That's right. And we should comment. We continue with Proverbs 31 here.
Yeah.
And then we continue with Proverbs 31 into the next stage, because that really is, that portion of Scripture really defines this whole age range from, you know, resilient all the way through the next one, which I'll tee up for you to go ahead and say.
So the last one that she's coming into, well, we just got done through
Noble Queen. Yeah.
And the last one is Wise Queen.
Yeah.
And this is really two parallel, because you have the wise warrior and then you have the wise queen. This is that time in life where, like, some of the core themes in this now is rest. It's wisdom. I shared with you the other day, I don't like getting older, but I do like the wisdom side of it, because I feel like I have something to offer now that I didn't have before.
Yes.
There were things that I had to offer before, but they just look different than what this is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Again, I'm just going to hang with Proverbs 31. We got 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And this is that that age where we see, you know, so much mentoring going on, as you mentioned, and you know, grandparenting, you know, at this age. And
you know, I had the experiences. I had letting go of striving. That's a big one. Finding deep contentment in faith and family, guiding the next generation, speaking wisdom into her daughters, granddaughters, and younger women, resting in God's sovereignty, no longer carrying the weight of the world. What was it when we were talking about this? I was talking about as she's getting to this age, there's a point where from when I've been talking with different women about this, they've been doing stuff for other people for so long that they begin to forget who they really are.
Yeah.
It's almost like a journey of finding myself again. Who am I now? My identity didn't change because my identity was in Christ as a believer. But the things that we've learned, if we're afraid to offer those things, and this is for both the wise warrior and the wise queen, you have stories that were made to be told.
Yes. I think that's the point. She's not necessarily striving anymore. Maybe the way we read again is a Proverbs 31 wife would. But however, she also knows her race isn't over. But she's instead going, now I run alongside others to help them finish well.
Yeah, I don't have to be first anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I now just,
here's a cup of water.
What I'm supposed to be. I know what I'm supposed to be. And I'm here to help others. And
yeah, I love that when you see a race and you see someone on the side handing a cup of water. Like,
or running to catch up to them.
Yes.
Yes. It's like,
I love that.
Awesome support.
Remember that Olympic moment? I forget who it was. The one man who was supposed to win the whole thing or whatever it was, he pulled a hamstring or something. And someone came alongside and they didn't finish. No, it was another guy. And he could have won it, but he didn't. He stopped and helped the guy up and helped him get across the finish line. They were last, right?
Yeah.
And he could have won this thing, but he decided to help someone.
So cool.
Well, let's move into, these stages are awesome. I mean, we're going to go through all the experiences, what we learn, the hard things, the good things through all those. And you're going to identify all of you with whatever stage you're in right now with what they are.
And probably the earlier stages as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Because when I hear that story, like the treehouse story, I instantly identify with that. I mean, we'll need to get into it here, but you know, when you hear those stories, you go, oh yeah, I was on one side of the coin or the other in those stories. You know what I mean?
I know. You can somehow put yourself in those positions.
Yeah, it's real easy to. Yeah, great writing on your part, honestly.
Thanks. So this is one of the things that, besides the pyramid of purpose that we talk about, I'm really excited about the three A's. Mm. And AAA, right? I keep getting those things in the mail. It's my age or whatever. But the three A's in the book stands for alignments, appointments, and assignments. And I think this is one of the most practical and powerful frameworks that we have in the book. We started off with like alignment, and this went back. We actually used Gideon, as an example in this,
all the way through.
Yeah, and we use Gideon in every one of these things, and we also have personal stories, so we can line it up biblically and with our own personal stories. But alignments is really about getting aligned with God. Because you can't move forward if you're not aligning with God and your purpose.
Heart, mind, desires, purpose, all of it.
And so then when we move from alignments, then we move into appointments. Yeah. And these are those God-ordained moments, like when you and I saw each other at Starbucks and God said, I want you to stay here 10 more minutes. I'm like, what?
Total appointment.
Yeah.
Perfect story for an appointment.
I used to get so irritated when I would write at Panera, like on my last book, on The Roar Within, I'd be there. Well, both my last books. People, when they see you there day after day, oh, I want to go see what he's working on. Or, hey, how's it going? And you're like, not now. I'm focused, right?
Right.
There was a car accident. Remember I told you?
Right outside the window.
Oh, yeah, it was 10 yards away. A whole truck full of lumber. I never knew it. And the police come in, hey, what did you witness? I go, what are you talking about? That accident. What accident? It was right. Did you have hearing aids?
I'm busy. Leave me alone.
But that was, getting so focused. But those were because then God said, Brent, those people that are coming to you, many of these, not all of them, these are those God ordained appointments.
Yeah. Intersections.
Yeah.
Touch points. Pick a name. We chose appointments because it started with an A.
Yeah, but it was perfect.
It was.
And then from
which leads to
The God assignments.
Yeah. And we call all three of these sort of as a package. We call them the path to obedience.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the path of obedience. Now I've got to check myself.
I know. We've changed things so many times.
It's the path of obedience. I'm glad I checked myself on that.
Well, and the story that I think I put on this one was, remember I was talking about I was on my way to speak. It was right before COVID. It was the day that it came out that, hey, we're going to shut everything down.
Yeah.
And all my events canceled. And so, but long story short with all of this stuff, we went to our pastor and then to another guy to see if maybe, because Stacy was like, man, maybe you should be stopping writing and speaking. You need to go stock shelves somewhere, do something, you know,
right.
which I understand and I would have been willing to do, but there you go. There's one of those moments when the enemy went, wait a second, Brent.
Can I pull him away?
Yeah, this is not who you are. You do this. And that's where you have to be careful because those can become idols in your life if letting go of something is so difficult.
Yeah.
If you're connected to it that much, be careful.
And that's why this is not linear. It doesn't always go straight from aligned to appointments to assignments.
Yeah.
Satan wants to take away that alignment. That's the thing he really wants to take away.
Yeah,
if he takes that away, he wins.
We had Don Higgins on here maybe six months ago, something like that. And one of the lines he said is, my integrity is not for sale.
Yeah, great.
That's one of those God alignment kind of a things.
Great phrase. Yeah.
But so in this one, when I was saying about all those events canceling and everything, it finally came down to where, you know, she was questioning, is this really where God still has you? And so we needed to be looking at what are the assignments that God has. And so she said, let's go meet with our pastor. And he said, well, I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say, stay the course. Went to another guy. He said, stay the course. And my wife is like, okay, wait a second here. You know, God always speaks to you in threes. Well, that's only two. Now, I'm not saying everybody God speaks to you like when he puts three things in order, but right. That's the way he a lot of times does it with me. And so we pull in the driveway after church. This is only days apart. And this elderly man who's got pretty bad dementia, he's out there in his front yard, and he sees us. And all he does is he waves his hands, and he goes, stay the course. And she just looks at me shaking her head. But that's the thing is, you know, one of the things we talk about in here is identifying the voice of God. How do we know it's him? You know, and then being able to, and like what we talk about is this path of obedience. Once he shows us, the question now is, if I'm aligned with God, now I'm willing to go ahead and walk wherever he says go. But I'm not, like you just said, sometimes we have to go back to alignments. Okay, well, here's your assignment. Okay, I'm not ready. And he's like, well, we have to go back. We need to get aligned again because you're not really willing.
Yeah.
What are you holding on to?
Or we haven't aligned enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, I certainly believe at a younger age, I had... however you want to measure it, 72% alignment. I don't know how to measure that.
Right.
But I know that at other times in my life, it's been 84 and then 28 and then, you know, 97. And then, so, yeah.
Well, let's talk about one more thing in this.
Yeah.
And that is the pyramid of purpose.
Yeah. The purpose pyramid. That's
yeah.
a great one. Seven P's?
Yes.
I feel like it's seven, but there's that eighth one that always.
Well, I think originally they were like nine. And here's yeah. kind of the way that everything kind of worked out with this. It went from, in the very beginning of being planned by God, right? And so it went from planned to purpose.
Yeah, it's purpose now.
And then it went from, what is it, from purpose to passion?
Passion, that's right.
Passion to, was it principles?
Principles for sure.
Principles to
practice.
Practice yep. to priorities.
No,
planned.
Yeah, you got
plan.
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 Yeah.
And then plan to...
And yes, we're making it hard on you. We have planned and planned. So
I know.
If we can deal with it, you can deal with it.
Well, one is being planned by God, but then these are the
Jeremiah,
plans he has for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it finishes finally this thing up. Look, and again, what was it? What's the last one?
Priority.
And here's the thing. When you do all those things like we're talking about in order,
right?
And that we explain how that all works,
right?
The final two that aren't listed as P words, but they are P words, is that when you finally do all those, it leads to productivity, which profits others.
Right. And all... nine of those P's wrapped in P, prayer.
Prayer, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a cool framework, man.
Dude, I'm so excited.
Yeah, same here.
You guys are going to love this. Well, is there anything you wanted to touch on?
No, we think we, I don't know. You know, you tease a book unintentionally, you tease a book intentionally. I think we teased enough for this one at this point.
Well, do this real quick before we wrap up here. When you've seen God moving every time we get together, or we'll be going back and forth, what does that ignite in you? What does that experience like?
Unfortunately, it's an overboard experience for me because I like to do things to the max, whatever it is. So I'll be like to my wife, hey, we need to get this into the hands of, you know, 75 couples here at the church. We need to create 50, you know, 50 home groups. Everyone needs to be going through this book. She's like, hey, slow your roll there, sucker. You know,
it's
probably a little early for that.
Yeah, but it's,
I'm like, okay, but that's like that's how fired up I am. I'm ignited for this thing.
Well, it's
man.
Like when you get to a fishing hole, right? And I get to this fishing hole and I see like a bunch of trout on their side rolling in the sun. I'm like, oh my gosh, where's my bait? I got to get this in the water fast. That's what this feels like.
You don't even open your tackle box sometimes. You just are like, whatever the first thing is I can throw out there.
I'm going to jump in.
I've done that. I've sat there for an hour before. I was like, oh, I could open my tackle box and see what else is in here.
But that's the excitement because when you can feel the power and when you, like, as we're writing this, you know, you'll give it to other people and say, what do you think? You had a guy come in the other day and he goes, dude, these five warrior phases, he goes, this needs to be a movie.
He ate it up.
Yeah, he did. It's funny to see some of these guys keep coming back in. Hey, where are you guys at with this?
Yeah, because we ride at the same place most weeks, so there's a group that has been watching us and also been participating, been able to read some of the materials as we go to help us verify and validate what we've got in there.
Well, guys, it's going to be good. It's going to be really good. So,
and because of God. Well, I'm going to say it one more time.
Yeah.
It is not because of us.
Well, and I think that's why the fire is burning so much.
Right, because we can feel it. We know it's the spirit in us that's excited.
You know, and before we go, I just want to say, you know, make sure to subscribe, you know, to us, and we're going to have a lot more Unleashed book with the Unleashed podcast. We'll talk more about it. You know, make sure to give us a like. You know, if you want to support the mission, like we always talk about, you can go to unleashed.men and just go to the donate tab in the drop down because it's what's going to help us get this book in the hands of so many people.
Yeah.
But share this podcast with maybe someone you know could really use this. So let me just kind of say again, the fire burns every single time. You know, when Eric is here or I've got a guest or I'm by myself or however we do the podcast, because every week I get messages from guys saying, you have no idea how much I needed to hear this. And I think there's a lot of guys out there that are going, I'm looking for that purpose and I need something to light the fire to get me going. I don't want to just, you know, like that funeral today, 93-year-old woman who lived, she worked until she was 85 and then she kept loving everybody after that. We've got one life. What are you going to do with it? God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the purpose you've given to us and help us to see it clearly. Help us to be aligned with you. Show us those appointments that you have for us and then give us that assignment that we can become dangerous for good. And we will become dangerous for good when we have been unleashed. We'll see you next time, guys.